you more. And in Colossians chapter 1, that is a powerful, powerful chapter in the Word of God. One of the most powerful chapters that that brings out Jesus Christ. The Colossians just bring out Christ and tell you who he is, which is, and how to, and I like how Sister Joni was putting an emphasis on the giving thanks to God. What verse there? In verse 3, Paul did it, said it in verse 3, and then he went back and said it down in verse, 12? 12. So there's a couple of times that Paul mentioned giving thanks, notice to God and the Father. He's God, our Father who art in heaven. And God is our Father. He's God and he's the Father. See, giving thanks to him. A lot of times, sometimes we forget. And we'll say, thank you, Jesus. That's good. But we must give thanks to the Father through Jesus Christ. Thank the Father because all things was created by him through Christ. God created all things through Jesus Christ. So Paul brought it out. He was a master. And he said, we should give thanks to the Father of our, to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Then goes down to verse 9. For this cause we also sins. Paul has never, as far as we know, never been to Colossae. He never been here. He never started this church, yet he pastored it. He sent the letter here, and he wrote a powerful letter instructing this church. He said, for this cause we also, since the day, you see, we heard it. I mean, he has not been there. He heard, all was back and forth. Do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled, notice, that you might be filled. Are you following me? Say it, you repeat. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all, one, wisdom and spiritual understanding. That means you need a church that knows, a pastor that can teach you this, a ministry. You're just not going to get it by yourself staying home and coming to church every once in a while and missing. You don't know what you're doing. You're not holding the things of God highly, but it's just don't mean that much to you. But we need to surrender to the Lord and get the darkness out of our minds. You see, as the next few verses tells you, that verse 10, that he might walk worthy. This is a lifestyle worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And don't just stay the same every year. You know, you're not valuable, but you've got to change your lifestyle and increasing in the knowledge of God. Next year, if you're at the same place like you are tonight, then you're not increasing, but you have to grow in him, grow in knowledge, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Then, strengthen with all might. How do you get this? Through the Word and the Spirit, the Word. If you don't read the Word, if you don't study the Bible, you're not going to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If you put your Bible away and you spend more time with television, movies, the worldly things, you won't have any spiritual strength, and the devil will just blow you over. But strengthen with all might. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost work in you with all might. Not up and down, in and out, and you don't study the Bible and then you expect God to bless you. We listened to Sister Joni tonight, and you could tell that she's been studying, stable in the Word of God. And God has blessed us. And we are not a large church, but the Word of God goes out from here. And God is blessing us. And we're reaching around the world with simple equipments. And God is blessing us. And people are responding. And people love the Word of God. How many positive comments, because God told me to stay in the Bible. That's what the Lord told me. The Lord said, I want you to do the kingdom, and I want you to do the resurrection and the second coming, but I want you to stay in scriptures, not adding your words. That's what the Lord told me. And we have blessed, and we're producing. We're going to eventually produce those three in books, book form, because people need to hear and have the Word of God. And if the Lord tarries long after I'm gone, the Word of God, how He shows me how to put it together, will be around. So when we get this work finished, and we have our sisters and those are brothers that are working on it and helping us, that we will we have a small copy of it, and we have enough material for how many books already. But so God will bless us. Okay, now back to verse 11. Is that rare? Strengthened with might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Giving thanks, notice, giving thanks, there it is again. I slow down here so you can see that. Giving thanks unto the Father. Many times we give thanks to Jesus, but we forget the Father. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And that's good, that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But remember now, Jesus is to take us to the Father. Amen. And even at the end of the millennium, when it's over, Jesus will turn the kingdom over to the Father. And Jesus taught us to pray. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. See, Jesus was telling the truth. Thy kingdom come. That is the kingdom that He will deliver to the Father at the end of the millennium. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. The will of God will not be accomplished until the kingdom come. You say, but the church is here. The church is not the kingdom. The church is the vehicle that God is using to prepare us for the kingdom. The church is the move of God that He's brought. He instituted the church because of the I don't want to say postponement of the kingdom, but I cannot find a better word right there. But when the kingdom was offered to the Jews or to Israel, they rejected it, so it was postponed until the second advent. And during this time, God is able to raise up a church, mostly of Gentiles. It's open for Jews and Gentiles, but the church began at Pentecost. That was a new move of God when the Lord started a new creation, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, a spirit birth. He said to who was it, Nicodemus, in John 3 verse 3 says, verily, somebody can find that. I want to quote it right. John, and I'll come back to Colossians, but John 3 and verse 3 Jesus answered, read on, and said unto him, that's Nicodemus, verily, verily, which means truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man, notice, be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, now, he cannot see, he could not enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus was telling a Jew who was already in the kingdom that was under the law. That they were in it was lost because they were now in Rome under the rule of the Romans, but they still had a hope of the return of a Messiah. So the disciples said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? But it was not that time, and God was not going to restore the same kind of kingdom that was under the law. See, the law was a natural kingdom where they fought with the sword. But the Lord told Peter, put up your sword. This was a different warfare that we would fight, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. And the weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This was a total different war that we would fight in the church, not carnal war and carnal weapon. See, but we wrestle against principalities. And no, not flesh and blood like David did Goliath, but we would wrestle against principalities and unseen forces. Remember, Sister Joni read about that God made all things through Christ visible. There's a visible creation. I can see you and you can see me, but there are principalities that you cannot see, and you can only see them through the spirit, that discerning of spirits. That's how the church is so powerful. And we would be in a war, but it would not be flesh and blood, but it would be principalities and powers and rulers unseen. But God gave us weapon. We cannot use the weapons of the world to do it. No more than David could use the weapons of Saul to fight Goliath. But we have an armor. God dressed us up how to face the battle. See, we are dressed up with the armor of God, put on the whole armor of God. And when you put on the armor of God, you're putting on Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, because the battle is not yours. You cannot fight the devil by yourself. It is the Lord. Only Jesus Christ can help us. And the Lord is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. He fights our battles for us. And he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he will show to you. So as you put your trust in Almighty God and let the Lord lead you, you'll find out that he will direct your steps and he will give you the victory every time. Amen. So in John 3, he told, Nicodemus? He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. You must be born again. He said, help me. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But he said, how can a man be born when he's old? He didn't understand. Can he enter his mother's womb and be born again? No. The second time. No, that's not the way. But God was going to pour out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, and a church would come into being. And through the church, by the blood and the word, we would be born again by being washed in the blood, accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then God would translate us from the kingdom of darkness. See the work that's going on? From the kingdom of darkness, he was going to put you in the kingdom that's under, was under the law. But he transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what he does. Because Jesus has a kingdom. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us about that kingdom. And the Lord would, the Lord said, you must be born again. So it takes a new birth to enter into this kingdom. He that is born of the flesh is flesh, but he that is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born again. And it's a spiritual birth. Amen? And it's not a carnal, natural birth. That birth of Adam, the first Adam, dies. That birth cannot put you in the kingdom of God. But you have to be born now by the Spirit of Almighty God. So Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? No. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that water is the Word. The water is the Word of God. Wash and make clean. The washing of the water, the washing by the Word of God. I said, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he has to be born of water, the Word. Peter calls it being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And when you're born again, then you desire to be fed. As newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God. So when you do not go to church, and you don't read the Bible, and you don't have a nursing father, or you don't have a nursing mother, or someone to feed you with the Word of God, you'll never grow. Because a baby needs food. A baby needs milk. A baby needs attention. And the same thing goes for you. Spiritually, you need to have a minister ministering to you that you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So except he be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter, next verse, into the kingdom of God. Now he explains it very clearly. That which is born of the flesh will never change. It remains flesh. Flesh remains flesh. Flesh and blood, 1 Corinthians 15 says, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. No matter how good you are, how much you try, the Ethiopian cannot change his skin, nor the lepers his spot. Neither can we which are accustomed to do evil do good. So that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit, two things, two births. We had one birth of the first Adam, but in Adam all died. That was we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But Jesus said there is another birth, and that's of the Spirit. So that's what we are here tonight, because it's a spirit birth. It's a birth from above. And this new birth begun on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came. Jesus told them, he said, when they asked him, said, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the season, because it's going to be a long period. And in this time, God was going to reach out to the Gentiles, who we are. And he reached out, and here we are tonight. And So we are in church. We are in the presence of God. We are being born of the Spirit of God, and we are being fed. We are being changed into the image of God. And 1 Corinthians 15 again says, as we have borne the image of the first Adam, we shall also bear the image of the last, or the second man, the last Adam, the second man. We will bear his image. David said in Psalms, that as for me, I will behold his face in righteousness. See, we're going to have to put on the righteousness of God. He is righteous. Jesus is the righteousness of God. And as for me, I will behold his face in righteousness. Then he said, I will be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. See, that's what he's doing. We were in darkness and we were sleeping and we were dead in darkness, in trespasses and sin. But God, look at God waking us up. He's waking us up out of that darkness. And how does he do it? He translates us from the kingdom of Satan. Okay? He delivers us. My, what a warfare. What a battle. What a battle he had to do. He had to come down in the strong man's house and fought against him and deliver us. It was not an easy warfare for him to come and fight and to deliver us and bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what Jesus did. Jesus entered into the very bowels of hell and broke the chain and broke the yoke and destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. That's where Jesus delivered us, from him that had the power of death. And now he said, if the Son of God has set you free, you're free. You're free from the power of Satan. You're free from the bondage of sin. Jesus broke the bondage of sin and set us free. So let me go back, finish here and go back to Colossians. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Next verse says, 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. All right? Is that all? Let me go back now to, let me go back to Colossians. But I could stay there, but it's so beautiful. Colossians verse 12, giving thanks. So unto the Father. So you begin to thank him, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I thank you for... Well, what do you thank him for? He tells you, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Do you know how many saints there are in light? Numberless. John was told to count them in the 7th chapter, and he could not count them. Remember? There was a number that John could not count, the saints in light. Look at Mount Zion, the saints in light. The saints in light means that those that have attained and achieved the knowledge of God that he's talking about, the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. These are the saints in light. You are a saint, but you've got to continue in light, and you move from one glory to the other glory until finally I fought a good fight. I finished my course, where you learn so much about God that there's no more darkness in you. But Paul can, the scriptures can say, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And Paul said, Peter said, the darkness is past and the light now shine. And Paul said, awake. It's high time to arise because the darkness is over. That's the darkness and blindness that you and I were captured by the devil. But Jesus destroys it. Are you listening? Jesus delivered us. Jesus broke the chain of the devil. And he brought you out of the prison house. And look at you. Look at you. He brought you out of the prison house. And you don't want to go back and go back to prison, but you want to stay free. Because whom the Son of God has set free, he is free indeed. So giving thanks. Can somebody help me there? Somebody help me praise the Lord right there? Can somebody give thanks to the Father? Can somebody give thanks to the Father? Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers another word for that word meat. He had made us meat to be partakers. He qualifies us, right? Remember, we were not qualified before because we were children of darkness. But he qualifies us and made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. Lord. Of the inheritance of the saints in light. So you have an inheritance. But the devil wants to capture and keep you captive. But Christ came to destroy the works of the devil and to set you free so you can get into your inheritance. But he has to pull you, deliver you from the power of darkness, and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son, because the inheritance is in the kingdom of his son. And a lot of time, preachers will make you believe that your inheritance is here now. And you need it now, and you got to get it now. But Paul, if the inheritance was here, Paul would have missed it, didn't he? And Peter, because Paul didn't get it. Paul was going on to receive it. He said, "I fought a good fight, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." His inheritance was ahead. And you and I, our inheritance is over in the kingdom of God. Amen. So here, food and raiment, whatever God gives you, you satisfy. If God give you $1,000, $100,000, whatever he gives you, you'll be satisfied. Because you've got an inheritance that is waiting for you. It's not a carnal inheritance, but it's a spiritual inheritance in that glorious kingdom when he established the kingdom. So we give thanks to the Father right now, every day, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's saying a whole lot because we were not worthy. And look at you, remember your lifestyle, what you did, where you came from, remember? The things you had in your spirit, the rebellion in your heart. But God, be patient and we'll work with you. And look how God, long-suffering, and draw you. He drew you with cords of a man and bands of love. And here, look at you sitting down tonight when you could have been somewhere else. But here you are tonight feeding upon the word of God. Not just milk, but upon the sincere meat of God's word that you may grow thereby. Eh? So the next verse, 13 now, here's this powerful verse. Verse 13. Here's what he did. Here's what he did, what you're thanking God for. What are you thanking God for? Verse 13. Because he had delivered us, come on, from the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, from the power of principalities and powers. And he didn't just leave you there, but look what he did. He translated us. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. He didn't say he's going to do it. He said he already did it. He translated us. He delivered us. He didn't say he's going to deliver us, but he already delivered. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen? That's the kingdom. That's the kingdom, that stone kingdom in Daniel 2 that was hewn out of the mountain without hands, that went against the system of the world system of the beast. Satanic kingdom, government that has ruled the world and usurped authority and has kept man in ignorance and darkness and blindness. But Jesus Christ, the light of the world. There's going to be a change. A kingdom was born at Pentecost. Amen. Not like the kingdom that was under the law. Okay, carnal. But this is spiritual. With power and with glory. Amen. Because the kingdom under the law could not bring the glory and peace to the earth. But this kingdom, which is an everlasting kingdom, this kingdom is going to cause the saints of the Most High to take and possess the kingdom. And the kingdoms of this world are to become or shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Amen. So here's what he delivers us from: the power of darkness. And I translated us where? I want you to see something: into the kingdom of his dear son. Because we are citizens of the kingdom. And he's making up his kingdom with you and I. So where did he get the citizens from? He went to the dark regions of the devil. And he pulled them out. And he led captivity captives. And he gave gifts to men. You understand what he did? He pulled you out of darkness. He took you and I away from the devil. He took us away and destroyed the power of him that had the power of death. Jesus did that for you. He broke the power of the devil. That's why you should shout. Don't let the devil hang a dark cloud over you. He said, who had delivered us? He came with his blood and the word. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And he delivered us from the power of darkness. Darkness of the mind. Remember one time? We didn't know anything about God. We didn't believe. We didn't have any knowledge of God. But when Christ came, light shone in our dark places. The dark places of our hearts. It says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. He delivered us from the power of darkness. That was no easy deliverance. It was a warfare. And translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That's where you are tonight. He raised us up and make us sit together. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Did you know by faith the devil can't touch you? Because you belong to the Lord. So if you don't understand, you go around praying every day, the devil is on my back. No, he's not. It's just because you don't understand. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Unless you understand the word of God, you go around and the devil condemn you and say, you're not saved, you're no good. And the devil said, when last did you feel God? This is not by feeling. It's not by your feelings. God didn't save you by your feelings. He saved you because you have faith in the word of God. And it's not your feelings that keep you. It's the faith in the word of God that keeps you. It's faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he puts you, the church that was born at Pentecost, is a rock. You remember? Remember there was a rock that followed them? Well, it's the same rock. And that's why you get water out of the rock. You get everything out of this rock. When you're thirsty, where do you get your water? It's the same rock that followed them. And this rock is Jesus. And he says, not only did the rock lead them through the wilderness, but he said, upon this rock will I build my church. Come on. Upon this rock, who is the rock? This rock is Jesus. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself. being the chief cornerstone, and other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. The song says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And you put your faith in Jesus, and you accept Jesus as your Savior. Ask Him to wash you in His blood. He forgive you. And as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power of God. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to as many as believe on His name. See, do you believe tonight? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Here I was going to touch something on the blog. Maybe I touch a little bit before I close. Then he says that, verse 13, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom, look at that, in whom we have redemption through His blood. You see, through the blood, even the forgiveness of sin. But look who He is. As He is, so are we. Okay. Look what He's making us into. Like Himself. Who is the image of the invisible God. Notice, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And a lot of people get hung up and say, see that? He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the firstborn for the new creation. He's the firstborn for the children that He delivers from the power of darkness and new creation. He's the firstborn that went on the other side and broke through and came back alive. And I will, between on the weekend, and if you read blog 8, day number 8, you'll find out some powerful scripture there about it, dealing with the resurrection. I have a lot of scriptures on the resurrection. And He says He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Next verse. Then notice, without doubt, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And somebody say, you know, Jesus, they mix it up and say, Jesus is the first creation. No, Jesus really was not created. The Son of God was not created. The Son of God is the Word that came out of the Father. Period. He was in the bosom of the Father, and He came out of the Father, and He is the Word that the Father spoke. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All right, so I just put that in to show you that. But now He was born as a man from a virgin 2,000 years ago. And He died. But He rose again. And when He rose, He began a new creation. So He became the firstborn of that creation, which is a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, because Christ came back to give us a new way, a new and a living way. So it's not the old Adam anymore. That old man died. But it's the new man And the spirit man, listen to me, the spirit man, which is the new man, does not rest with the dead man, Adam. Amen. He is the image of the invisible God. Verse 17, and he is before, notice, see? He's before all things. And by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. See? The firstborn from the dead. And God, see, God raised up Jesus. That's read blog 8 day 8, because that's where I'm going. I mean, it's all filled up with that. I was going to teach on that tonight, but we're building into it. Sister Joni touched a beautiful scripture that I couldn't resist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. When he born from the dead, a new creation, a new race begun. That's why we also have to be born from the dead by the first resurrection. We become the children of God by the resurrection. A new birth. So if you did not die, you would change anyhow. Which is the same. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Same. Okay. The firstborn from the dead. That in all things, he might have the preeminence. We have that word tonight. For, look at this. We get all upset on trying to figure out who Jesus is and his place with the Father. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Even the Father live in him and he the Father. And we in him. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. There it is with God. The peace was with God. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So there's some things up there in heaven that he made peace with his blood. You see, these are all powerful mysteries. And don't tell me it's angel, because the blood does not relate to angel. Okay. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, to be to him by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Notice, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ does not save fallen angels. And the ones that are not fallen don't need to be redeemed. The blood of Jesus Christ only applied to fallen Adam's race. Next verse. Are you with me? And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, but now hath he reconciled. Read on. Let's read fast. In the body of his flesh, true death, to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Next verse. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, where I, Paul, am made a minister. Next verse. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. All right, we are in what you call it now, the dispensation, according to the dispensation of God. That word dispensation, anybody can help me? It's like the economy. That's when God is making up his jewels. It's when God is putting together a kingdom right now during the church age through the body called his body. Right? Anybody have that word? Stewardship, dispensation, stewardship, administration. It's not only mean time, but it's the work that God is doing. The government is on Jesus' shoulder, and he's ministering, dispensing. That's a powerful word. A system of rules or order of ordering affairs, arrangement, and so on. See, that's what he's doing right now. That dispensation right now. That's why he's equipping you and qualifying you for rulers in heaven. I mean, in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So when you play around that, you miss that. Your inheritance is getting you ready. You don't know it. You think I just come to church and I give a little money in the offering and I sit down, and you don't understand. It's a dispensation where God is selecting rulers, the economy. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been a ruler over a few things. You remember the one that was given 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. The 1 talent hid it in the dispensation of the of God, the economy of God. So when he got there, he had no interest, nothing to show. He hid the 1 talent. So when God called you and you just hide that, and when you stand before him, you don't have any increase. Because from the day you accepted Christ, you've not done anything. You've not surrendered. You're not increasing the word of God. So during the dispensation of God, you've not increased. You hid your talents. Amen. You hide it. And you are not faithful. And when you stand before him, you have nothing to show. But now is the time to invest and to store up treasures and to work for God. Whatever your hands find to do, do it. And stop fooling and playing games. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me to for you to fulfill the word of God. See, you got to do something about it. Paul had something saying, can you fulfill the word of God in your life? The plan of God. The gifts of God in your life. Even the mystery, which had been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints. Next verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is it? What is it? Christ in you. The hope of glory, but he's got to get in you. The fullness of Christ has got to be in you. He said, but I just say the sinner's prayer, you need more than that. You need the riches of the word of God. You need that working of God. You need that dispensation of God to work that wisdom in you and that knowledge and that understanding in you. Christ in you. You ought to wake up. And that's what the world is lacking and what we need. And instead of that, we're focused on natural things. Money, money, money. What I have and how much you have. Those are just paper that's going to burn. But I'm telling something, your treasure. Amen. Because when he returned to make up his jewels, I want to be there. I'll be one of those. I want to be a gold vessel in the house of God. I don't want to be wood, air, or stubble. I want to make changes in my life. And it's time to make changes in our life. It's time to surrender to the Lord. It's time to accept Jesus as our Savior and be washed in the blood and accept the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. He's to translate us, deliver us from the kingdom, from the power and the darkness of the devil, and translate us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So what do? Give thanks to him. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.